Well, please have your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 22. Well, the mill owner is ready. John, he's been managing, he's been owning the mill for years, and he's decided to have a party. He's having a party because his son is getting married, and he's decided to invite all of his line managers along. It doesn't matter how long they've been working for him, they're all invited to come along to this big party that John is having to celebrate his son's wedding. And he needs a venue for it, so he's hired out the local working man's club. He's got the best potato pie you can get in Lancashire. It's all sorted out. He's got a local band and they're going to play. So everything is ready to go. The problem is, no one's bothered turning up. He's invited all these people and none of these people that he's employed, they can't be bothered. They've all got excuses. It's Saturday. It's my day off. I've got to clean the car. I've got Stanley tickets. Don't you know who they're playing? I've got to go shopping. It's a family day. I've got to go fishing. It's time for the car boot. The list goes on and on and on. So John tries again. And he sends some messengers out. He goes out there. He gets them banging on people's doors. Talking to them. Inviting them. It's all ready to go. It's free of charge. It's an all expenses paid party. But the excuses remain. And some of his messengers come back with broken noses. People really do not want to attend. And this is absolutely shocking. Because John, he's a good mill owner. He pays his staff good wages. And not only does he pay them good wages, but he provides them with places to live. He's got houses and he puts his employees into houses. And he offers them really low-cost loans as well. So these people who aren't coming along, they're busy spending the money that he's given them. They're using the loans that he's given them at a beneath market rate to buy cars and football season tickets and things like that. And they just can't be bothered to come along to a free party that he's offering. Well, basically, they're not showing him or his son any respect at all. So he treats them exactly how they deserve. All of them, they get sacked. And as they lose their jobs, they get evicted. And the bailiffs are sent around to call in on those loans as well. So these people, they end up losing absolutely everything. But they're disrespectful employees. So they're being dealt with fairly. But it still leaves a problem. The potato pie is getting cold. So the messengers are sent out, and this time they go out to the factory floor, and everyone is invited. The workers, the cleaners, the mechanics, the electricians, the office staff, even the gardener. Everyone is welcome. So the party is filled. The working man's club, it's never seen so many people there. The band is playing. Everyone's having a good time. And John, looking at this packed room, he decides to walk around and talk to the people, greet them. And as he's walking around, he comes across Fred. Fred, he's a mechanic. And he's decided to come along in his oily work clothes to a wedding party. Everyone else is in their Sunday best. And John, he's absolutely shocked and upset at this. Because, you know, he's invited Fred along. And not only has he invited Fred along, he knows people might struggle with clothing. So he's given him a free dry cleaning voucher. And if necessary, he'd have made sure that he was able to have a suit to wear. And Fred, he's come along in his oily rags. So we know what happens to him, don't we? He gets turfed out. And Fred, he can't say anything about it because he knows what he was going to. He knows the sort of party he was going to. So the moral of this story is that we're to remember our obligations. And when we receive an open invitation to an all-expenses-paid party, then we have to remember who it is who's inviting us along to it. So this is clearly a modern retelling of the parable of the wedding banquet, putting it into terms that we understand today. And Jesus, he told parables for a couple of reasons. First of all, he told parables to teach spiritual truths by using earthly stories. And then secondly, He told parables to separate the men from the boys. Because parables, they divide people. They divide people into those who are interested and those who are not interested at all. And right now, this morning, there's two sorts of people here. You're already divided into two groups. Are you interested in what this parable means? Or are you someone who can't wait until the tea and coffee and biscuits are served in a few minutes' time? Well, for you, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is, I'm not going to be too long. The bad news is, you're missing out on something really important. You're missing out on a key message that is relevant to each and every one of us. So let's start thinking about what this parable means for all of us. And the first thing we see is that there's this open invitation going out, and we are all under an obligation to respond to it. In my retelling of the parable, I talked about John, the mill owner, who is an exceptional boss, a really good and fair man who does good things for his employees, making sure that they're well cared for. Now, in the parable, the king who is there, the king is representing God. Now, the thing is, when a king tells you to come along to a party, you're under the command of the king. You're under obligation to do what the king wants you to do. So this is drawing out the sort of relationship that we have with God. You see, God has got a relationship with all of us. He's made all of us. And he's given us all many wonderful things. The fact that you're alive today, you're living in a peaceful, developed country. You've got access to education and healthcare. There's food on the shelves. These are all blessings which God gives to each one of us. Whether we say thank you to God or whether we don't, he blesses us. These are gifts that he's given to us. So all of us owe something to God. We're all under an obligation to him. So what is God asking us to do? Well, in the parable, the wedding banquet is like the kingdom of heaven. And being a part of the kingdom of heaven means being in the right sort of relationship with God, being on speaking terms with him. And in order to do this, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, God has already paid all of the expenses. Everything has been done for you to come into the right relationship with him. That's what Jesus came and did. We're coming up to Christmas, aren't we? And Christmas is that start of that time when we start to see God paying all of the expenses for us to be on the right relationship with him. So we see that with him being sent. And then Easter, when we celebrate what he did on the cross, that reminds us that all the expenses have been paid. So in order to come into the kingdom of heaven, to be in the right relationship with God, all we have to do is respond to his invitation to put our trust into him. That's all we have to do, put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the parable and in the story, when the invitation was sent out, how did people respond? They were too busy doing other things. They didn't feel that they were under any obligation to come back to him at all. People are enjoying the good things that God gives them, but they're thinking that they can get away with completely ignoring him. And they're so wrapped up in their own lives that, you know, they just think that they can have nothing to do with God whatsoever. And that's not something that we can keep on going on doing, is it? It's a bit like someone who decides that they want a house and they take out a mortgage, but they don't think that they've got to pay the bank or the building society anything. We know that it's going to catch up with them sooner or later. So what happens next? Well, we see that people are given a second chance. It's wonderful how the king, he sends out more messengers. It's there in verse 4 of our passage. And this just points out to us how kind and good and loving and patient God is with people. He doesn't treat us how we treat him. He's patient with us. He is so incredibly kind. So the offer to turn back to him is repeated. Once again, that offer is repeated. And if these folk decide to accept the invitation, it means that their earlier misdeeds, they're all forgotten. So God keeps on extending that invitation to it, to these people. But what comes after that? Well, they just keep on rejecting this invitation, don't they? Not only do the refusals continue, but some of the servants, they're killed, they're beaten up as well. And when we think about the spiritual truth behind this, it starts to help us understand why Christians are so badly treated. You know, Peter mentioned in his testimony about how Chris was a religious nut. And that's often the viewpoint that people have of Christians. They're a little bit strange. They're a little bit extreme. That means that Christians, they may get a little bit bullied in the workplace. They may be looked down upon by their neighbours. As we start looking on the international scene, we see that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world, far above anything else. And that's because deep down people know it's true. And deep down people have got this rebellious attitude towards God, which means they try and reject those people who are sharing that invitation with folk around them. That's why Christians have such a hard time sometimes. Because they're representing the true and living God. And they're going out there and they're sharing this message, but people do not want to hear it, despite the wonderful things that God has done for all of them. Well, we see in the parable, don't we, that eventually God's patience runs out and the people are called to account for the things that they do wrong. This happens to nations and it happens to individuals as well, because God is patient with us, but he's not patient with us forever. You can only refuse that invitation so many times before he catches up with you. So it's important that you respond to the invitation as soon as you can, because you don't want to be in that other place. Well, as the parable goes on, and the first round of people who are invited, they're destroyed. The servants are sent out again, and they're sent out to all sorts of people. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone that you can find. And this is the wonderful thing about being a Christian. The invitation is open to anyone. The passage goes on, and the good and the bad are invited. You don't have to be squeaky clean. You don't have to be really good in order to come to a God and be made right with him, to be forgiven for the things that you've done wrong. Often we find that people who have done bad things, who know that they're bad deep down inside, they're people who are more likely to come and ask for forgiveness. Because if you're someone who thinks that you're good, if you think that you're okay, then you're less likely to come to God. The bad news is, while you may be perfectly good in the eyes of the law of the land, God has a different set of standards altogether. And when we look at God's standards, no one measures up at all. So all of us need to respond to this invitation that he offers, the invitation to enter the kingdom of heaven, the invitation to be totally forgiven of all of the wrong things that we do. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Each and every person is welcome. All sorts are invited into this wedding banquet. And as we look at the Christian church, we have all sorts of people here this morning, and we think about Christianity around the world. All sorts of people of all ethnic groups, all sorts of backgrounds who have been come together because God has worked in their lives and they have become Christians. But once you're in the wedding banquet, once you're in the kingdom of heaven, once you are a Christian, it puts you under certain obligations. We saw how all people are under obligation to come and respond to this invitation. And those that do respond, it doesn't mean that you can just become a Christian, come along to church once, say a prayer once, and then go away and live your life anyway. We're expected to live as Christians. This is what the end of that parable is all about, where the person is expected to be wearing those wedding garments, things that were provided by the person running the party. You know, we have that problem of pretending. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friends? And that person was thrown out. And that reminds us as Christians that when we become Christians, we are expected to live a Christian life. We can't have one foot in the world and another foot in the church where we put on our Sunday face, and then the rest of the week we're like everyone else. We're expected to be Christians all of the time, each and every day. But the thing is, we're expected to be Christians, but look how it's described being a Christian. It's like being at a wedding banquet, a great feast, a joyous occasion with the best potato pie going and a band playing, all sorts of wonderful things going on. It's like being on a holiday. Nowadays, there's lots of all-expenses-paid holidays out there, and sometimes you can even get them on cruise liners. But on cruise liners, there's still a dress code that's expected to be paid, to be worn and abided to. So we can see that all expenses have been paid, but we're under obligation to behave a certain way. So becoming a Christian is a life-changing event. You are never the same again. But it's the best thing that you could possibly ever do. It's a wonderful thing. It's being in that wedding banquet, being in the right relationship with God, knowing that he is there to love you and care for you, support you, and knowing that as you go through this life, he opens doors for you and you've got a future in heaven with him, an eternity with him. All the expenses have been paid. All we need to do is respond to that invitation. Many are invited, but only a few are chosen. The invitation goes out to all sorts of people, but only a few ever take it up. This morning, will you take up that invitation, that open invitation, with all of its expenses paid, to become a Christian? Amen.